This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hour number two, Anthony Lima and Daryl is in for Kenny. Kenny returns on Monday, so Kenny missed out on all this goodness that was the Kirk Cousins rumors, the speculation, some innuendo thrown in there. And Daryl, you're just saying, hey, he's just visiting.
Yeah, just visiting. Okay. But we also missed out on, was Ken able to stream the Guardians game yesterday?
I know he was watching. I know he was 100% watching yesterday because we were sending some texts throughout the game.
Like, how many four-letter words did he utter as he was trying to watch the
He's
beginning
still a
of
cable
it?
Guy, so he doesn't.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't.
He doesn't have the first world problems
we
that
don't
I have.
Sweat that stuff.
Okay.
We just pay a lot more money than everybody else.
Well, congratulations to all of you on your success.
I know. I didn't think that I'd be one of the last holdouts here at the station.
I'm contemplating going back to cable at this point. Because I'm basically paying
a big
for,
move.
I'm paying for cable now with
Can
all my streaming
in?
Services, and once the four-letter network drops their thing later this year, their app or whatever, you know, because it's the dumbest thing in the world for me that, like, Disney Plus has ESPN bundled in, but it's none of the stuff ESPN-related that I actually want to watch.
I'm a holdout. I'm sticking with it. Can you take advantage of one of those promos, the first time promos, right?
Well, the problem is, and I've tried doing that, but they got hip to that. They got hip to the cancel and then renew under the promo bit. So now it's for new customers only.
That was all we had, Daryl.
I know. I'm out of email addresses to register for this stuff.
Daryl, there's plenty more email addresses to get.
Yeah. I mean, you're talking to somebody who has 32 Instagram burner accounts. You can't get those without making sure you have all those email addresses. All right, 216-474-0092. So Kirk Cousins in town. We are getting, you know, the type of social media response is always brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. You know, people are noting that, yeah, just because, this is from Joe Mo, just because Daryl doesn't, you know, the Browns have permission to speak to Cousins doesn't mean it didn't happen. I mean, yeah, you bring that up, that they would need permission, but it is 2025. What, do you think the Browns would be worried about losing draft picks over something like this? As annoying as this?
Listen, if they lose one of their 4 6-round draft picks for tampering here, there's going to be it'll be a bigger scandal than Ray Farmer texting the sideline in the middle of the game.
It would be a pretty big scandal. It would be.
We've had issues in the NFL where teams have gotten busted for tampering and lost draft picks. It has happened before.
And yet it seems like at the combine, all the teams, whether it's tampering or not, or whether they're just they're having conversations with agents, how is it that immediately once free agency starts, all these contracts and all these new deals are secured?
Oh, are you trying to say that they can't negotiate $100 million contracts in the span of 15 seconds when the new league year begins? Or, I'm sorry, the legal tampering window opens? That is some very reckless speculation on your part there, Anthony Weimer.
Setting all that sarcasm aside, if Kirk Cousins, if we did find out that the Browns could pull off a trade, forget about what happens in the draft.
Right.
Because that is going to be important, obviously. And we have plenty more sound because I got some Deion sound I want to play in a little bit because he is debunking some of the stuff that's out there about making sure to secure a landing spot that he feels comfortable with. Kirk Cousins, if he is the Browns quarterback in September, how much does it change your thought on where the Browns are this year?
The over-under is what, 4.5? Is that what the folks in the desert
where
is?
I saw it was dead last in the AFC.
Okay. I'm still taking the over with or without Kirk Cousins. I think 5 wins is the floor this coming season. Like, that's the absolute worst. I think maybe Kirk Cousins gives you 1, maybe 2 more wins. So instead of 5 wins, maybe you can get to 7. Is that really worth it?
Well, when you say worth it, the first thing is Kenny Pickett's the only quarterback on your roster right
Correct.
Now. You also have to add, and this is a pretty important element, you've got a front office that I don't care what their extensions were. I don't care what's in fine print about...
I don't think they're fighting for their jobs, to be honest with you.
Okay, you say
I disagree with that narrative.
You say that, Daryl? I mean, if this team wins 4 games and a bunch of people call their season ticket executive or their contact and they start dropping, like the Haslams, we know how they behaved in the past, and it's just how owners behave around the NFL. Yeah. You have back-to-back seasons of, they win 3 games last year, and if they win 5 games or less, 6 games or less, you think they're coming back?
I understand what you're saying. I just don't think that part of the reason they came back is I don't feel like ownership has put this all on Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski. I feel like because last year was the unmitigated disaster that it was, right? I feel like that was ownership's way, without saying it, I think that was ownership's way of acknowledging their culpability in what took place last season. Because I absolutely could have made a case, and I tried to make the case, Andrew Berry probably should have been fired after the season. Maybe not so much Kevin Stefanski. I think Kevin Stefanski is a good football coach. I don't know necessarily he's a good motivator, but do you have to be a good motivator to be a good football coach? That's a debate to be had. But I feel like that, because there's no quarterback here, no franchise quarterback, I think you have to get, if you're going to keep your front office around, which they did, you have to give your front office 2 years to evaluate that situation. So, I have a new theory of what's going to happen over the next month when it comes to the draft.
Go ahead.
I think the Browns are going to take Abdul Carter at 2, and I think they're going to trade back into the first round. 25-ish, maybe a little later.
To get
the quarterback. So that they get the fifth year of control, that fifth year option. If the quarterback doesn't pan out, well, you can still get out of it. You don't pick up that fifth year, you've moved on, right? It's not as punitive now missing in the first round on a quarterback as it used to be. Look at what Arizona did a couple years ago. They wasted no time moving on.
Yeah, Josh Rosen and Kyler Murray.
So you can do that, and you're at a point. It's throw stuff against the wall time for the Browns when it comes to quarterbacks, veteran and rookies. It just makes sense to take your best player at 2 and then come back into the first round to get a quarterback. Just whatever you do, Andrew Berry, do not under any circumstances trade for the number 22 overall pick.
The job security thing, Daryl, I'm just not with you. I don't think that anything, I don't care who they take in the draft.
I'm not saying that they're absolutely safe, but
I know what the climate is going to be like in this time. I know what it is now. There is, would you not say, Would you not say there's been an element of apathy in this Browns offseason, despite the fact they have the number two overall pick?
No.
I mean, number two overall pick, and I understand. Like,
my Browns fans, friends, they text me weekly about their frustrations, and the passion's still there. I don't think that Browns fans are apathetic. I think Browns fans are angry. I think Browns fans are fed up. I think Browns fans are disgusted.
You went from a team that every year we were saying, well, they're in their contention window. Well, we have some of the most talent in the NFL. And now you're looking at the over-under totals, and it's 4.5 going into a season.
They blew it with the Deshaun Watson trade. They blew it. From ownership through the front office, they blew it. They are to blame for totally messing up what was supposed to be the positive proceeds from going 1-31 and 4-44. They blew it. They missed the runway, and now they're trying to do a reset here midstream and kind of keep this thing together without doing a complete and utter reset. And part of that was getting Myles Garrett back, because if you had to trade Myles, you're smashing the reset button. You're blowing the whole thing up at some point.
They not doing that anyway? Are they not in the middle? I mean, think about it. You're going to lose at the end of the year. Batonio is going to be gone. We think that Teller is going to be on the team this year. He'll be gone. Conklin will be gone. Like, you start going through. I have no idea about the future of JOK. Right. The Nick Chubb era, even if he comes back this year, his era is over, right? I mean, it's that.
They're going to draft a running back.
Yeah.
They're going to draft another tight end. David Njoku's contract is up. They met with him in Miami earlier this week. They did a 2-for-1 with the whole Cam Ward thing. But I don't sit here feeling like Andrew Berry this offseason is GMing for his job. Yes, his job will be on the line if the team does not perform well, or we don't see development from young players, or we don't see...
And that's not GMing for your job then?
No, I think that he'll be aggressive in the draft. I think that's where... This was not an offseason to get aggressive in free agency. It was not a good... The free agency class was about as good as this quarterback class. It just wasn't that great. It wasn't worth spending big money. And I got to be honest with you, I really think Andrew Berry did a pretty good job over the last couple of weeks. Shored up the offensive line, added some much-needed versatility to that particular unit, okay? Got a little help on the defensive side of the ball. But the impact, where Andrew Berry, you want to know where Andrew Berry's going to lose his job? Is if he messes up this draft. Because after taking 3 years off of not having top picks, first and second rounders, this year he's got a hit. And that's why I am now convinced they're going to have 2 first-round picks this year.
All right, Daryl's saying they're taking Abdul Carter right now at number 2 and then trading back in to get a quarterback at the end of the first round. 216-474-0092, Steve in Wycliffe. Go ahead. You're on Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan.
Good morning.
Morning, Steve.
So, quarterbacks. Stop talking about quarterbacks. The Browns would be better off to try and reinvent the game without using a quarterback.
Excuse me?
They're horrible at it. They're horrible at it. They can't pick one. They had one for whatever reason. They lose them. They get hurt. It's a litany.
All right, so what's your setup? Steve, I got to hear this. What is your setup this year? How are you going to fill out a roster and do this without a quarterback?
I don't care. They're not going to pick the right one. They've been through 40.
Steve, organization, they've
been through 40 quarterbacks.
You've got to have something, Steve.
Yeah, Steve, how are you getting past Kansas City, Buffalo? How are you getting by
Baltimore,
Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson in the division?
They're not. How about if we just stop talking about the Browns completely?
Why did we take that call?
I figured
if you plan on calling in and your take is to not have a player play a position anymore, probably reevaluate your life.
All right, Daryl, on record, saying Abdul Carter is the pick at number 2. I want to get into this because
I said I think he's the pick.
Yeah, that's. I mean, we don't know. Nobody knows.
Is that Daryl Ryder's pick or is that
that is what you're sleuthing? That is what I think is going to happen. Okay. I think that is what is going to happen. They will take Carter at two, and then they will trade back into the first round to secure that fifth-year option of control and take a quarterback.
Yeah, I was starting to, and I told Ken earlier in the week, I was starting to think what was gaining more traction was a trade down.
They're going to come away with multiple first-round picks this year, I'm convinced of it. They took 3 years without having first-rounders, okay? Went a couple years where they didn't, you know, Andrew Berry traded the second-round picks. So this is a year when you look at the roster composition, you look at what they're spending on the roster at certain positions, you look at expiring contracts, and those positions you brought up, Joel Bitonio, Wyatt Teller, you know, David Njoku, they need to replenish this roster with young, rookie, blue-chip talent. And the way you do that is through the draft with first and second round picks.
All right. Earlier this morning, Adam Schefter put out that ahead of Penn State's pro day today, Abdul Carter had dinner last night in State College, PA, with a large contingent of Browns officials, including Jimmy Haslam, J.W. Johnson, and GM Andrew Berry. Earlier this month, Carter visited the Browns facility and met with multiple team officials.
Hope they didn't take him to Chipotle.
Yeah, well, listen, there's nothing wrong with Chipotle,
no,
Kenny, just
but
because.
I'm guessing that, you know. Just
because the rumors got started yesterday with Kirk Cousins, and then what? People were wondering what our starting pitcher before game one was maybe getting into.
There was an old audio clip of, or video clip of Tanner Bibee saying that he enjoyed to have it the day before he threw, but he went and debunked that online.
See, Daryl, there's no issues here. Come on.
I love Chipotle. I'm just saying, like, I hope they, you know, went a little more upscale than a burrito bowl. Yeah.
Well, I want to get to the phones here, and then we're going to play some of Deion Sanders debunking some of what was out there.
Daryl, and what I was complaining about last hour.
You were outraged at some of the misreporting that may have been going on. Mike in Texas, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I can't believe I'm going to say this publicly, but I agree with Daryl Ryder.
Welcome to the dark side, Mike.
Long time Browns fan. I'm a first game in 1971, so been through all this. But I'll tell you, I think right now our best bet is take Carter number two and trade back in. It's either late first or top second. But trading back in to get that fifth year is the right call. Hopefully it'd be Jackson Dart. Trade up at least far enough to get him. You can't throw a dart against the board and catch a quarterback any later than that. I went through 15 years of recent draft history, and you get outside the 38th pick, you don't hit anybody. That whole time, the only second rounder that hit was Hurts. The only third rounder at that time was Wilson, and the only fourth round picks were Prescott and Cousins, and that's
it. Well, Mike, we see QB inflation.
Yeah, but Tom Brady won six or seven Super Bowls, I should say, and he was a sixth round pick, so it can be done.
Well, yeah. Good luck finding that.
But, hey, Brock Purdy, come on.
But quite frankly, looking at number two picks versus end of the first round, it's really about the same hit rate. So, yeah, take Carter, you know, and shore up that defense. And I agree with you also about, you know, we're going to start turning it over to the old guys and some young guys. You need to draft. I don't want to trade back, though. I think you need to hit that. Carter looks to be generational. You got to grab him. Look what Miles has done.
Mike, you say generational. What does that mean? Yeah, Mike, I got to ask you because you're in Texas. I'm sure you're very familiar with Myles Garrett and how just transcendent he has been as a pass rusher. Generational is a very, very interesting term to throw around. Because I do think it tends to get thrown around a little too often in the NBA as well. What do you mean when you say you think Abdul Carter is generational?
Well, yeah, and I probably threw that around too much too, to be honest with you. He has the makings. I don't know if he has the Myles Garrett makings, but the point of it is if you can have a difference maker at edge and have that difference maker be there for 8 or 10 years.
Well, the Browns currently have that, by the way.
What's that?
The Browns currently have that. His name's Myles Garrett.
I know, and how great would it be to have two of those until Miles, you know, retires, and then you already have.
Well, does it become a luxury item when you were like dead last in every offensive category last year? That's the thing I think they're wrestling with.
Okay, I get that, but I don't think there's an offensive player at number two that I would take that would make that difference anyway. If there was a perceived, you know, stud that you could get it to, I'm not sold on Sanders any more than Dart. I don't know if there's a receiver that lights me up like that. You don't do anything with running back anymore. Maybe if there was the next great left.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Left tackle, you know, I might consider doing something. I'd probably still trade down a couple spots just to get a tackle. I don't know if I'd use the number two, but I don't see that offensive player there, so grab Carter.
All right, thank you for the call from Frisco, Texas.
He clearly hasn't heard of Travis Hunter.
Well, and we're going to talk about all these guys, obviously. It's what we will continue to do in the lead-up to the draft because the opinions vary, certainly, on not that Travis Hunter isn't you know, a really good prospect, but is he worthy of taking, you know, all the way up there? Listen, I find it interesting because his head coach, Deion Sanders, has been involved with a ton of speculation, obviously, over the last week and really months and years on whether or not Shador Sanders would even want to come to a place like Cleveland. And there were rumors that were obviously gaining steam when Deion Sanders was at
ProMat 25.
The ProMat convention.
One of the biggest conferences
ever. He was a keynote speaker at this convention. And we still haven't gotten video. We still haven't gotten audio. Mitch, you've been looking for it. We're wondering if it was even ever said that he was hopeful that.
Yeah,
well, hold on. We do have new audio from Deion Sanders, and here is what he had to say.
Shador has told me, he's talked to me intently about all the visits he's had with all the teams, so I know where his heart is. I know where he wants to go. If it's New York, it's New York. If it's Tennessee, if it's Cleveland, if it's still the Raiders, if it's New Orleans, if it's any of those teams that are seeking a quarterback, I'm happy with it, man, because I know what he's going to do to the organization. I know what he's going to do.
All right, that audio was courtesy of the Skip Bayless podcast. Deion trying his best to debunk any of that stuff out there. Now, that's one thing to say it. What do you think Deion has been doing behind the scenes, if anything? Remember, he's a head coach. He's going to have other prospects.
Well, he's a dad.
Yeah, and he's also a dad. But, you know, I think a lot of people have assigned certain characteristics, certain qualities to Deion because they remember, you know, who he was as a player. He certainly was always willing to say what was on his mind. But now he's got more responsibilities. Like, he's going to have players that he can't steer everybody in the draft, and he certainly can't come out and just tell all his prospects don't go to Cleveland. Like, it's just that's not something a college football coach would do, even if it's Deion.
Well, this narrative has been out there for weeks and weeks and weeks. This isn't just that one rumor on X that he felt the need to go on Instagram and say, no, I never said that. That's completely false. Even before that, in the weeks before that, Anthony, there was the talk or the quote-unquote concern that Deion wanted to steer Shador Sanders away from the Cleveland Browns because they're 40 quarterbacks deep since 1999. This has been a quarterback graveyard here. Your career dies if you end up in Cleveland. This isn't the first time where he's had to debunk the I don't want Shador Sanders to end up with the Cleveland Browns talk. This has been ongoing. And even playing that audio, it's still going to continue even leading up to the draft. What we really should be talking about is whether or not Shador Sanders is actually worthy of coming to the Cleveland Browns with the number two overall pick.
Which
that's
I know,
the conversation that needs to be had.
And obviously you have been against it for a long time. And
I think he's a mid to late first round pick.
Well, and I think there are a lot of people around the NFL that think he's either late first or second in terms of their grade evaluation. Now,
right.
We did talk with one of the earlier callers. Like, there is big time QB inflation in every draft. So, okay, you might have a mid to late first round grade. that could pull you up a la Bo Nix last year, all the way up to what, number 12?
Yeah.
So we do see that happen, and we've seen it work. It did, you know, Bo Nix had a nice rookie year, but there are limitations to Bo Nix.
I mean, look, Patrick Mahomes, 12th overall, Ben Roethlisberger, who the Browns should have drafted and didn't, you know, he was middle of the first round. You can do well with middle of the first round quarterbacks. You don't have to use the number one or number two overall pick on a quarterback and hit. That's my point. Like, and that's why I am convinced that the plan will be take the best player, which right now appears to be Abdul Carter, at two, and trade back into the first round to get a quarterback.
Let's go to John in Westlake. Next up on the Fan. How are you, John?
I'm doing well. How about you?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to talk about it because I know when everybody's talking about the second pick, you need to look at it, in my opinion, on what you're also going to get in the second and in the third and so forth. So I'm a big believer Abdul Carter is the best. I don't really see the Browns having a need for a guy like Travis Hunter. So in my mind, my 1A is actually Mason Graham because he's just absolutely bulletproof as a D tackle, but at a position less value. But I wanted to get your guys' opinion because everybody keeps talking about Jackson Dart, and I think he's going to leave the draft earlier than we're willing to move up, you know, say 14, 15. But I've been hearing a lot about Tyler Shough. I don't know if you guys knew anything about him, if you guys had any thoughts on him.
You got to get his name right, John, if you want the Browns, take him.
Well, you know, but you know, he's a big quarterback. He's 6'5", I want to say. Like, I don't know. I think, to me, Abdul Carter and Shough makes more sense than trying to get Shedeur Sanders and, you know, scrap together something to help out the defense on the back end.
All right, John, thank you for the call. You know, he's another prospect that I've been hearing more and more about as teams do everything they can to uncover as much information as possible. How old is he? Daryl, the kid out of Louisville?
Like 26.
You're right.
He's
got a little Brandon Wheaton to him.
I was going to say, he's the next Brandon Wheaton. Are we going to get the ESPN Sports Science? Can he break clay pigeons? I'm not all that interested.
Yeah, but I mean, we're talking about that next run.
He wouldn't walk in as a rookie. He'd walk in as a veteran with no NFL experience.
Yeah. Trading up to get him, that would get people talking. I mean, there is no doubt. I don't think they're going in that direction. But, you know, who's to say, especially when we start throwing around the Kirk Cousins, you know, rumors that are going to get jump-started again after his appearance in Northeast Ohio yesterday. I mean, that's typically how it works.
Yeah. You know, look, the Browns have five picks in the top 104, okay? They absolutely have to come away, in my view, with those five in the top 104. For me, four of those, you got to hit on. You got to hit on four of them. Now, if you can, obviously, if you condense it.
It would be an all-time Browns draft if they hit on four of those guys in the top one.
But that's the place you find yourself in, Anthony, when you not only look at the upcoming 2025 season, but when you take a step back and you look at the overall state of the roster, okay, from an age standpoint, under contract standpoint, dollars and salary cap allocation standpoint, you need some young kids this year to contribute. I'm not saying they've got to be starters, but they need to be blue chip contributors. There's no question about it. So they're in great position. I think I forget what graph I saw, but there's a metric where they do the draft capital calculation or whatever. And according to this metric, the Browns have the best capital in the draft.
They earned it.
After taking 3 years off with no first and second round picks, you have to capitalize on that this year. And this is a golden opportunity for Andrew Berry to infuse this team with some blue chip young talent.
Yeah, and maybe could be Abdul Carter. Adam Schefter reporting that the whole Browns contingent is going to be there. Zach Jackson is going to be there too in State College. I don't know how much Abdul's even going to be doing, because it came out yesterday that they were going to be very careful. So it might just be about the meetings. I mean, that might be most of what you get at his workout today, which will be interesting.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
my life.
FML.
Fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing lives.
My life.
All right, I love that we're seeing evolution of young Mitch, because this is important. Daryl Ryder in for Ken Carmen today. Kenny will be back tomorrow. We'll get back to our Guardians. Cavs a win yesterday, but we gotta focus here on young Mitch, because
growth is important.
It is,
and I have to, for as much grief as I give Mitch on and off the air, it's done in a brotherly love way. I respect.
Needs a good mentor, Daryl, like yourself.
I respect the willingness to grow.
Well, Mitch already has taken guff for trips to Maine with his dad, hotel rooms with his dad. Okay, but this is something Mitch is going to do this summer on his own. He wants to go to Cooperstown, and what a great time to go to the Hall of Fame.
As a Yankee fan?
I don't know. Maybe this can help change him, because CeCe Sabathia and the voice of the Guardians, Tom Hamilton, are going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, and you want to go that weekend?
Yes, I want to go to the induction weekend, which I believe is the last weekend of July, I believe.
Okay, but are you finding that you might have some difficulties financially?
So many financial difficulties. Not just financially, but just the fact that no place is available to book.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like everybody booked their hotel rooms 2 years in advance.
Sleep in your car. Problem solved.
Well, I don't know if you can do that. I'm not sure about the... Is Cooperstown a village? Is it a hamlet?
It's technically a village. It's basically like
it might have rules
the town I grew up in, but if you just theme the entire town with baseball, that's all it is.
Yeah. Well, here's what I would suggest. And I don't think we're going to allow Odyssey would allow you to, you know, do a GoFundMe or a Venmo.
Oh,
or
no,
anything.
This show will not allow that. We're not getting
this show, this time slot, I think in particular.
An Odyssey station.
We can let people Google that on their own. But Mitch, what about going and seeing other parts of upstate New York, staying in a hotel, road tripping day of, hanging out day of, and then driving back? There's so many fabulous parts. They run commercials. They run ads on local TV here all the time about the state of New York.
I can solve his problem right now.
Let's hear it.
Sell all your Yankee gear.
Oh, I love it, Darryl.
Wow.
I love it. This would be the time.
If you really are not a Yankee fan, there's no reason for you to have Yankee gear.
It would be nice to have dozens and dozens of dollars back in my pocket to put towards a vacation, but there's a lot of things that are very hard to split apart from.
Oh, good grief. You're not, you claim to now not be a Yankee fan.
I'm not, no. I used to be a part-time Yankee fan, thank you. I have now been reformed. This team is oreless. I can't go with the two teams anymore. I have to go full Cleveland. But in doing so, there's a lot of things I would have to give up. Ball caps, jerseys, T-shirts.
Right. But there's money to be made. I'm seeing dollar signs. I'm seeing your vacations paid for.
Yeah, this is the time to bury all of that stuff and start anew and really celebrate, get involved with America's pastime. The way that they do it in Cooperstown is a throwback. It is an awesome experience. Right. I've been there.
Me too.
For Hall of Fame induction ceremonies.
I've got you a cabin 20 miles from Cooperstown.
20 miles from Cooperstown. That's interesting.
How
because
much?
A lot of the places I've been looking at are about an hour away.
Yeah, I'm getting you in there for 1:30 a night.
Okay, that might even be too much.
Wait a second. What about your buddies? You can't defray the costs here?
Well, that's the thing. I'm trying to solve what fraction of the cost
even
I will eat. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I want to give them an incentive to be able to go on the trip.
They're going to Cooperstown to see all the fame
induction. But they have jobs. They have their own lives too. And I want to make sure that I'm not putting them in a tough spot.
$32.50 a night per person.
Right. When you divvy it up, it makes it extremely affordable. And don't let people like Ken tell you as an adult, share a hotel room.
You can share. In this case,
there are no hotels. Every hotel is booked up except for one, which is about $2,000 for a whole trip. I have to go Airbnb, which is what we did last year with
Maine. Seriously, talk to Nick Wilson. He does the cabin trip with his boys every year. He'll tell you exactly how it goes.
He knows all the ins and the outs of a cabin trip done the right way.
No freeloading for your friends either. Let them pay their share.
They're not going to get a scot-free trip. I'm just saying that I want to give them an incentive that they're willing to go on this trip.
They're going to see the induction of the greats of a generation.
They're going to go on a 7-hour
Hall of Fame.
They're going to go on a 7-hour car ride for a weekend, which I have to return to on Monday.
Not only that's fine. Come on, you're young. You can handle all of that. Not to mention, if we get you a credential, You can go do some work. Get some one-on-ones for the show.
Exactly.
Now, this one, well, that's money saving. I get you in a treehouse haven. It's a little more. It's $250 a night, but.
Is it treehouse?
Yeah, it's a treehouse, man.
I love it.
That's actually a little
interesting. That's $60 a person.
I'm 27 years old, and that interests me.
Are any of your boys willing? Are any of them doing really well?
24 miles away.
Financially, professionally?
I would think so. I mean, some of them even work at this station, so I'm trying to get that
They can't
situated.
Be doing that well.
Well, no, none of them can go.
Okay, never
but
mind.
But you can all get media passes.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that definitely helps in all of this. Is there any lodging that if you go do it media-wise that they've reserved some rooms for the media?
Do any of them own a camper?
Ooh.
I have to be in a place with a shower in the morning. I can't do camper.
A lot of campsites have showers.
How many showers do you really need? I mean, you're young.
I cannot leave the house in the morning without a shower.
Okay, but you know, you're going to be in a car. You're
and
on the move.
And we thank you for that.
You can stop at a truck stop, right?
Oh, that'd be
a
fun.
Truck stop shower?
Yeah. Yes, the truck stop shower.
That's one
what
of the few
experience.
Times in my life I'm pulling my, I'm too good for that card.
You're too
dude,
good.
No.
Do you know much, truck stop
by
shower.
The truck stop
by the way, they're making way
days,
more money than you.
Yes.
Yeah.
They are set. I mean, they're going to have a nice pension. All the things that you're going to be desperate for in this
shower,
career.
Man.
Mitch, I'm about to give you one of the most important life lessons you'll ever need to know.
Okay.
Free needs to be one of your favorite four-letter F words.
Usually it is.
Yeah. Mitch, you can't be too good for any of this. Well, you are on the bottom
truck stop rung. Aren't free.
First of all, you're in the media. People detest the media. Look at the polling. They absolutely detest what we do for a living. So you can't thumb your nose at anybody in any other career, especially truck drivers. Who I got
the heartbeat of America.
A former roommate is doing that right now and making really good money. So stop.
You know what? I don't even know if we can fix Mitch's life in this situation because he has made it entirely more complicated than it needs.
I think so.
I give him a very plausible fundraising opportunity, and he just throws it in the recycle bin. You've got Owen over here is researching in 30 seconds where you can hang. And you're like, yeah, no, can't do that. Lima's over here giving you hygiene options, and you're like, yeah, no, I'm too good for that.
The show is this segment isn't a guarantee to fix somebody's life. It's just the option to do so.
Well,
it's also a casino about less than an hour away in Utica that.
Comped a room.
That you could have a fun time. You
well, that's
could have
all for
really
high rollers.
Tiger Woods used to frequent this casino.
Oh, really?
Back when he was really having fun. I want to play.
Pancake House near it?
Okay. I wanted to play because we've got the. I'm not responding to that. We have a very significant pro day going on in State College. Zach Jackson is going to be there today. Here is Nate Tice on Baskin and Phelps just yesterday with what the Browns should do at number two.
Abdul Carter, just because I prefer trenches and I maybe just as a fan of the NFL, just want to envision Myles Garrett and Abdul Carter wrecking offenses for the next decade. Make a strength your real strength. And I maybe because I've seen what Cleveland's done with Za'Darius Smith and Okoronkwo over there, and I've seen the glimpses of what that could look like, why not get another ace in there and just become one of the most unblockable defensive lines in the NFL? That's kind of what I've deferred argument has become.
Nate Tice makes it seem pretty cut and dry. The Browns should take Abdul Carter at number two. Daryl Ryder said it earlier in the show. He thinks the Browns are going to go number two with Abdul Carter. The Browns contingency, according to Schefter, they are all at State College today to talk to Abdul Carter.